It is not your privilege, it's my privilege to be here with you, and thank you so much for the invite, your prayers and support. They mean a lot, and I'm so glad for your pastor. He's such a godly man and a humble man. There are a few like that. It's lonely at the top. You know that? It is. I look at all the churches that I visit, and you meet godly, humble pastors, and then some people, they want to fight and this and, you know, make their life miserable. But you know what? You just keep looking to God, and you just keep letting that light shine, and that's what it's all about, because this is not our home. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're just passing through. And that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you this morning. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, we're going to look at chapter 20. And be reminded that living in a sinful world, as we do, things can be discouraging and depressing. And sometimes we can even be worried. But the title of this message is the question, worry or word and worship? So three W's, worry or get into word and worship. Seek the Lord and worship. And B is the correct answer. I think you know that, but we're going to see this in the scriptures today. Let me just say, before I forget, that our banquet where we share some testimonies of some of the inmates that have gotten out and gotten their life together is coming up. There's actually two. One's in Plymouth, far away from here. The other one is far too, but it's a little bit closer in Middleborough. And if you'd like to come, you're more than welcome. In fact, I have a couple of my newsletters here with the info. I'll leave over here. And if you want to make the trek on November 18th, it's a Friday night, you're more than welcome. You'll hear some testimonies, and we'll worship, and we'll have a good meal and fellowship, and it'll be a great evening if you can come. It starts at 7. It'll be over by 9. So if you can do that, please let me know so I can know how much food to have on hand for the restaurant to know and serve. So, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're going to read a few verses here, but I want you to see what happens here. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I'll be reading from New King James. I know you have different versions. It doesn't matter to me. In fact, if most of you use an NIV, I can use one of them. It does not matter to me. Is everybody, how many people use the NIV? Okay, how many use the King James or New King Jimmy's? About the same, right? This one's kind of close enough. All right. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, they came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. You might, if you have your Bible, you might want to underline those two little verses there. He was afraid, but he sought the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but the God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Now let me just stop there for a moment. He mentions twice here, do not fear. Does anybody happen to know how many times that phrase, do not fear, appears in sacred scripture? I'll give you a hint. How many days are there in a year? That's how many times. Do not fear. I know you can look around at times and be worried, but do not fear. Do not fear. The Lord is with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. This is key. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathite and the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with loud voices on high. So they arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, for they were defeated. For the people of Ammon rose up, and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Again, the question, worry or word and worship? The answer is, was, and always will be, B. Seek the Lord, get in the Word, and worship. This is what they did. Remember this crowd, this multitude's coming at them. And I don't know how many times this happens in sacred scripture, but numerous times, Israel It amazes me, those of you that have a map, look and see. In your study Bibles, many of you have maps. If you look at Israel and the rest of the Mideast over there, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, you know, Egypt, all the other stands, they're numerous. There are millions of them. And Israel is this small little nation, very small, if I could. It might be less big of that cross right there against that whole wall as far as the Mideast, and they cannot, all these people don't like them, and they can't take them out. They can't do it. They keep trying, and they can't do it because God is with them. And this is what's happening here. Again, they're outnumbered. Many times they're outnumbered 10-1, 3-1, 5-1, 100-1. You think of Gideon? Remember Gideon started out with 32,000 against 100,000 Midianites. He's outnumbered 3-1. God says you have too many. Tell those who are afraid to leave. 22,000 get up and leave. Now he only has 10,000. He's outnumbered 10-1. God says we still got too many. Go down and take a drink. And then he tells those who lapped like warriors to leave, and those who lapped like dogs, and keep those. Interesting. And now he only has 300. He's outnumbered almost 100-1. And God delivers them. He caused confusion. And these Midianites started killing each other when they blew the horn and struck the lamp with the fire in it. Not long ago on TV, I saw this. God causes confusion. Not long ago on TV, there were political rallies, and there was one for Trump going on, I think, and a bunch of Bernie boys came in to cause trouble and start fights. And there were so many Bernie boys that they started fighting each other. I mean, God caused, and hey, we're on the same side. You know, what are you doing? But God does that. He causes confusion. And this is all throughout the Bible. It's not just once. It's many times he does this. And he still tells us today to trust in him. We need to be that people that trust in him, because the world's not going to do it. They don't know him. They will never know him. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the people whom God elected even before the foundation of the world to share this light to the rest of the world. And we do so by seeking him, as I say, in jail, no Bible, no breakfast, and worshiping him. This is what we do. We worship him. This is so important. Why is this so important? Again, I've never served in the armed forces. When I turned of age, 18, they were just pulling people out of Vietnam, so I did not serve in the armed forces. However, many of my friends did, and they told me that when you're going to attack someone, you don't send out the worship team. You send in the 82nd, the 101st Airborne. They go in and shower them with bombs, and then they bring in the ground troops to kind of clean up the mess. Not with God. He sends out the worship team first. Why is this so important? Why is worship so important? Well, if you read the scriptures, we're going to be doing this forever and ever. We're going to be worshiping God forever and ever, because as your pastor said, there is no one like him. Nobody, no one comes close. There is no one like him. The sovereign Lord of the universe, he speaks, it happens, and he loves you and I. And he has provided a way for us to leave this earth and be with him forever through his son. And he has guaranteed it. And he has predestined us that we will arrive. We will be there. And that is cause for praise and honor and glory and worship now and forever. Can I get an amen? This is important. Now, why is this so important? I'm going to show you a couple passages. We're going to go to Romans first, Romans chapter 1, and let me just show you why this is so important. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to read a couple of verses for context, but I want to go to one verse just to show you that we were created to worship. Let me just say, everybody worships something or someone. Everybody. For the alcoholic, it's the pretty bottle. For the drug addict, it could be drugs. For the greedy person, it's the almighty dollar. Everybody worships something or someone. Watch. In verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul writes, "The wrath of God, the fierce, intense anger of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." They hold the truth down. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead and power, so that they are without excuse." He's saying, you don't need the Bible for this. Just look around, general revelation. Look around. Look at the sky, the birds, the moon, the sun, the stars, the fish, the sea, the animals. Just look around. You know there's a creation, and there must be a creator. There must be. It didn't just all happen, as some may think. No, there was no big explosion, and we're all grown-up creatures, grown-up germs. No, that's not the way it happened. God created us. I mean, anybody with a brain knows that, you know, if there's a creation, somebody created it. If there's a design, there was a designer. This is not hard. And so he says, verse 21, "They are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen and amen." Does everybody see this? The fierce anger of God is against those who worship something other than God. Why is this worship so important? We all do it. Everyone does it. Everyone worships something. But the only correct one worthy is the Lord, the God Almighty. And again, you don't need a Bible. Just look around at creation. He says general revelation reveals that there is a creator. The special revelation of God's word, living word, Christ, and written word, the Bible, gives us this special revelation to really know him, but he is worthy of our worship. Now, not only does he mention this as Romans, but go backwards now to John for a moment, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and remember the woman at the well. Jesus makes a statement here that is also interesting about worship, because it is important. Let's pick it up in verse 19. John 4, you remember, is the woman at the well. And after Jesus clues her in on her living relationship, she says in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem to worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Why? For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Can I get an amen? The Father is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is this so important? We were created to worship. And the only one who is worthy of our worship is God Almighty. Can I get an amen? And he empowers us by his spirit. This is where our worship needs to go. We're going to do this forever and ever in heaven. I would just say, if you don't like worshiping down here, you're not going to like heaven. You're not going to like heaven. But I love it. I love worshiping. And I'm going to tell you, I went through a really hard time not long ago. Many of you know my testimony and how I went to jail and I was in an accident and a life was taken. An officer died. I hit a police officer directing traffic years ago, 31 years ago, 2 years ago to be exact. And I pleaded guilty. I served my time and I came to Christ in jail. Thank God they had a Bible in jail. They don't give you one in school, but they give you one in jail. That's beautiful. The world's really got it together. But I come to faith in jail, realize I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and his spirit comes into me and changes my life forever. But what happened after I got out, I got into a good church and grew in the Lord. But what else happened was I was brought back into court for a civil suit. And I was sued to the tune of $2 million and change. I didn't have it, and they said, don't worry, they're just going to, they're not going to get blood out of a stone, and nothing happened. But several years later, they brought me back in and say, hey, listen, you got to pay something. And I think at the time, I had just started the ministry. I was making $30,000 a year. I had four children. And they said, well, can you pay $50 a month? And I said, yeah, I could do that. So I started to do that. I did that for years. And then it was only 2 years ago that they came back after me and said, you're making more now. The kids are older. Some are out of the house. And you need to be paying more. So we want more. In fact, right now with interest, that $2 million is $18 million. And the good news is my client will settle for 1%. I said, well, how much is that? They said $180,000. I said, oh, well, I don't have that either. They said, well, we're going to haul you back into court, and we're going to try and take half your salary. I said, oh, boy. So I talked to some people. They said, you need to get a lawyer. And so there were lawyers for $4.50 an hour, for $3.50 an hour, for $2.50 an hour, and I can only afford the $2.50 an hour. I can't even afford that, but I had to get them. And so anyway, $20,000 later, I finally solved this thing and I'm able to make a settlement and that was over. But I want you to know that it caused a lot of sleepless nights. It really, really affected me. I never had a problem sleeping, but there were nights where I could not sleep. Kim will tell you, I would get up 2 a.m. after laying in bed for 3 hours and just go for a ride. And I'd pull into a Shaw's parking lot, I'm listening to worship music, I fall asleep. I get a few hours sleep, I wake up, go home, shower, go to work. I come back home. I couldn't sleep. I go 2-3 days without no sleep, and it was so sad because I was tired during the day, but I didn't want to sleep during the day because I got to work, and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, so I'd wait till night, but I'd be to go to bed dead tired and still lay there wide awake. So it was really hard, but I would listen to these worship CDs, and that really, really helped me a lot. I'm going to tell you, worship will help you through a real hard time. If we're going through a dark time right now when we are in our world today, do not forget to seek the Lord and worship. Because remember, we are not of the world. We're not here to stay. This is not our home. Can I get an amen? We're only passing through. We're just pilgrims. We're only here for a little while. We're just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Don't let the world drag you down. Set your mind on Christ. Get up in the morning, no Bible, no breakfast. Set your mind and your heart and your sight on the Lord and worship. Because that's the only way we're going to get through this part of this life here on earth. It can be gruesome. And so, again, we were created to worship. God wants people to worship him. And we will worship forever. Now, one more verse that was brought to my attention recently, and it's in Ephesians, if you'd go there, after John, the Gospel, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Notice chapter 5. This was a passage I've read. I've been a minister 20 years. I've preached it many times. But it was only brought to my attention recently of something that I just never noticed before. And let's pick it up in Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "See that you walk or live circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Are they evil still? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look around. You don't have to look far. It's all over the place. "So redeem the time, for the days of evil, and therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Again, get in the Word. No Bible, no breakfast. Get in the Word and seek the Lord. And then it says this. Again, I've read this 100 times, especially in jail, since most people are in there for alcohol or drug-related crimes. I looked at this, but I looked at it differently recently. Paul writes, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, what I've learned is this, and this was another pastor preaching, and I never thought of it this way, but I know it to be true. How many here have been drunk? Don't raise your hand, but if you've ever done it, once is usually enough, but if you've ever done it, here's what happens. For those of you that haven't, I'll clue you in. You think differently, you speak differently, and you act differently. And if you have any friends who were with you the night you were drunk, they will remind you the next day, "Do you know what you said last night? Do you know what you did last night?" And you will do some pretty dumb things, and anybody who's been under the influence knows this. Now, here's what he says. "Do not be drunk with wine. That is dissipation. But in the same breath, be filled with the Spirit." Now, just as under the influence of alcohol or wine, you will think, say, do things that are not right. He says, but I want you to be filled with the Spirit, because then you will also think, say, and do things that are not natural. You know, when God comes into you, when the Spirit of God comes into you, you are not a natural man anymore. You are supernatural. Can I get an amen? You think differently than others. Have you noticed that? You say things that others don't say. You do things that others don't do. You know, most people in the world think of the unholy trinity. That would be me, myself, and I. You know, Christians don't do that. They think of God and others, then me. Like you're doing downstairs with the Christmas gifts. You know, world doesn't do that. They think only of themselves. We don't. We think of God and others. We think of the two commandments, which summarize all: love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty much joy. Jesus, others, you. J-O-Y. And that's what we do. We think, we speak, we act like this. And we are supernatural. The natural man can't do this. He can't. It's not in the cards. It's nowhere to be found. The natural man, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, cannot understand the things of God, and neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot understand these things. They look and say, why are they like this? Why are they so happy? Why do they have peace and joy? Why do they, you know... It's because God is in us. Can I get an amen? That's what happens. And it causes us to give glory and honor and praise and worship to the one who did this to us. The one who gave us his spirit. The one who changed our lives forever. Can I get an amen? So again, just as you would do things that are not right under the influence of wine or alcohol or drugs, the same thing, you will do things that are not natural under the Spirit too, but they'll be good things. There'll be things that others notice. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to the whole household. So you too, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's what we do. It's what we do as children of God. The world scratches their head saying, "Why do they do that?" We know why we do it. But we are to be the salt of the earth and make people thirsty for God. So when they see these, they say, "Why are they like that? Why do they have peace and joy? Do they not see the world's falling apart? You know, we don't live here. We're not staying here. Our kingdom is not of this world. We live for God. Yes, we vote. We stand up for things we believe in. But we don't let it shake us too much because we're just passing through. We're just passing through. And we worship the God of the universe. There's only one. We know him. He came down. He walked among us. He gave us his word. He left and gave us his spirit. We belong to him. We glorify him. We worship him. And we will always worship him in this life and in the life to come. It's not far away. We're only here for a little while. Again, we're a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Don't get riled up by what's going on. Don't. I mean, pray. Pray, yes, and vote. And stand for the things you believe. But even though you see this evil, remember, we are not of the world. We are not. We live in this world. We're not of this world. One day we're going home. Can I get an amen? And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So, on that note, again, Jehoshaphat sees this crowd. He's all worried. What does he do? He gets into the Word. He seeks the Lord. He worships, and God delivers him. And we do the same. We look around. We see, oh, this place is a mess. This is all coming down. You know, okay, look it. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to worship. He is going to deliver us. Now, in that same book, go back to 2 Chronicles. There's a verse that we need to remember. I think you know where we're going, chapter 7. And here's what we need to do when we seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. I think you already know this. You know this by heart. We don't even have to turn it. You can all quote this, I'm sure. So, yes, we look around and, boy, this is, you know, the world is a mess. The United States is a mess. But we will pray. We will pray. We will seek the Lord. We belong to him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the prophet writes. Or here's what thus saith the Lord, as the prophet says. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7. If my people who are called by my name, who are they? They're God's people. Christians are called Christians because it means Christ ones. They belong to Christ. They're called by his name. If my people who are called by my name, all right, four things, we ready? Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, that would be get into word, seek the Lord, and then turn from their sins. Whatever sins God reveals in their life, turn from their sins. God will do three things. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, this is not to the world, because the world can't do this. The world doesn't even open this book. You know, they don't even know God. They're not even in the picture. So he's talking to his people. He says, if my people, forget the world, they do evil, sin is sin. But if my people, who are called by my name, if they get off their high horse and humble themselves, if they pray, I'm sure we have a prayer meeting here, right? I won't ask how well attended it is, but I hope everyone comes. Because if my people humble themselves and pray, and then seek the Lord, they get in the Word. I'm sure you have Bible study here. I'm sure you have Sunday school. I'm sure you have worship where we open the Word. If you humble yourself, pray, seek the Lord, and then turn from whatever things God reveals to you that's not right. Maybe things you're doing you shouldn't. Maybe things you're not doing that you should. But whatever it is, turn from those wicked ways. He will do these three things, and you can underline them. Then I will hear, and I will forgive, and I will heal their land. Is that what you want? That's what I want. This is what he says. Are we going to believe this? Or are we just going to read it and go back to business as usual? When is prayer meeting? Prayer meeting, what night? Wednesday. What time? Six. I think you know this, but I'm just making sure if some don't know that. Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Remember, if we pray, humble ourselves. Seek the Lord. When is Bible study? Same night. Same place and time. This is not hard. If we seek his face, we get in to seek him, right? And we turn from whatever God's teaching us, whatever God is revealing to us in our own separate lives, whatever's going on, then he will hear, he will forgive, and he will heal our land for our children's sake that we will leave behind. I know, listen, we're not going to be here in 10 years or whatever. I know. Maybe you're just thinking about yourself. That's all. Well, listen, for your children's sake, do this. For your grandchildren's sake, do this. This is not our home. I know that. Our citizenship is in heaven, yes, but while we are here, pray. Stand for what you believe. Vote. I know the choices aren't the greatest, but vote. And for our children's sake, we'll go to the Lord. We'll humble ourselves. We'll pray. We'll seek his face. We'll listen to what he says. If we got to clean up something, whatever, we're going to do this. And then he's going to hear, he'll forgive, and he will heal our land. But remember the whole point of this, again, back to the beginning. When something bad's happening, you can worry. But you know what worry does. All it does is paralyze you. You know, you're biting your nails. You can't, you know. Yeah. Don't worry. Seek the Lord and worship. Because he's greater than anything that's happening. Can I get an amen? And he's all that really matters. Just him. He's all that really matters in this life and in the life to come. And we will just worship and worship and worship. And he will lift you up in whatever despair you find yourself in. Do not be afraid. How many times is that said? One day a year, every one for every day a year. That's what we do. Worship. Worship, worship, worship. Get alone and worship. I want to share a story that I read a long time ago, and I may have shared it here, but I'm sure it's been years, many years. But it's about a girl who takes her daughter to the open house at the elementary school, and she writes, Robin Jones writes this. We went to open house tonight at the public elementary school, and when Rachel's teacher met us, her eyebrows seemed to raise a little bit. And she spoke kindly of our first grader, but she said she had some concerns. She then invited us to the bulletin board, and we would see what she meant. There were dozens of these brown paper treasure chests tacked to the bulletin board. Each one had a barrel top so it could swing open. On the front of each of these treasure chests was written, "A real treasure would be," and there was a blank. We walked over and began opening the lids to find Rachel's treasure and to see why it so concerned the teacher. As we peeked into each treasure chest, we saw, you know, a real treasure would be Nintendo, would be a TV, would be a few genies, heaps of gold coins, and one person had a unicorn. Rachel's chest was at the very bottom corner. We had to stoop to open it. Inside, our daughter had drawn Jesus hanging on a cross with red drops of blood shaped like hearts dripping from his hands. She had completed the sentence, "A real treasure would be Jesus." "Do you see my concern?" the teacher asked. "Yes," my husband agreed. "I see what you mean. The J's backwards, isn't it?" The world doesn't understand this. Do you understand what I'm saying? The world is clueless. They've been blinded by the God of this world. They are clueless. They know nothing. But we have been enlightened. We know there's a lot more than the here and now. Can I get an amen? And it's not far away. It's not far away. That's the good news. But while we're here, we worship. We seek the Lord. We pray. We humble ourselves. Again, we seek his face. We turn from whatever sense he's revealed to us. He will hear. He will forgive. And he will heal our land. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to us, for sending your Son, your only Son, who came down, took on flesh, and walked among us, who gave us the words of everlasting life, died for our sins, rose again, paid for them so we could believe and have life in you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you. Father, as we look around and we see the mess that sin has caused in this world and how it gets very dark at times, help us not to worry, but to seek your face, to get in the word and to worship. Because we are not of this world. Our citizenship is not here. We don't live here. We're just passing through. Help us to seek you and to worship and to let our light so shine that others again see our good works and glorify you, Lord, that others too may come to know you. Because there is a lot more than what can be seen. What is seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal, Lord. And that's why we're here. That's why you didn't take us into heaven when we believed in you. You left us here to be this light and this salt that others could know you. So use us, I pray, Lord. Bless the efforts of those that are sending these gifts out, Lord. I pray. We pray that some children would see the love of God, that someone cared, and that they would listen to whatever the lessons are taught over there, and they would realize these people did this because of Jesus, and they would trust in him. and they too would know you and worship. Father, again, we thank you for this great salvation. Help us to not neglect it, but to make it known, to know you, to make you known everywhere we go, in whatever way you show us, Lord, because we ask it in the name of your Son, in accordance with your will, in the name of Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen.